Hi, and welcome to today's episode of So What's Up. Today we're talking about when everything that can go wrong does go wrong. Hi, I'm James. I'm here today with Mike, and today we're going to talk about things that go wrong.
You should add to that website launch.
Particularly regarding websites, yes. In our world, websites go wrong. So, Mike, what things normally can go wrong? I say normally, they don't always go wrong, but if things are going to go wrong on a website, is it normally when we're putting a website live, when it's already up? What happens? What goes wrong?
I think a big thing that goes wrong these days, the first thing that goes wrong is communication. I truly believe because a customer doesn't always grasp what a website deployment is and what's involved, and their expectations versus the process versus what you're to do usually don't align. So I think where you, the first thing that always goes wrong is the customer gets a misunderstanding on what's going to happen. So the first thing we should always do is sort of elaborate with the customer the steps and processes, because website launches these days, they're not a big fanfare. You can launch it, you can deploy it, then nothing happens. It can take a couple of hours. So I think the first thing and foremost is always to make sure the customer is aware of what's involved in a website deployment. So they've got an old website, they've got a new website. New website isn't online, old website's going offline. Is what's going to happen to the old website? Have they got a backup? You know, if we're not hosting it, if they're with an existing provider, the moment that DNS changes, we have no visibility of that old website. So the first thing I'd always say is get a backup of your old site, because you always need a backup plan. Deployments don't always go right, so get a backup. Second thing is DNS control. Is always, you'll be surprised how many people don't have control of their own domain.
I would not be surprised, I know very well. Yep. And just for anyone that's listening that doesn't really know what that is, so that's basically control of when you go to a web address, you go to www.yourwebsite.com, it's the thing that controls where that website comes from when you type that in. So a lot of customers don't understand the technical ins and outs of that. And to be fair, they don't really need to. It's not their, they're busy running their business. Do they really care about this stuff?
Well, you tend to find it's they're busy running their business, but in certain size businesses, it's usually someone who is no longer there that bought it or set it up. So an ex-marketing intern or a marketing manager that has moved on to other positions elsewhere. And therefore, the people that now are picking up that responsibility don't know where that domain was bought, don't know where it was acquired. The other thing they don't know is that are emails attached to it. So if you change the DNS records, are the emails going to change? Or have you got a, you know, is it managed with an IT company? Is it managed at the domain registrar?
There's a lot of things in this mix, isn't there? Emails going wrong are, I think, one of the most common things where clients have no actual clue where their email provider is, who it is, who they're paying, how it's set up. And often during these processes of getting websites live, some of this stuff comes to light, and sometimes it can be turned into a positive experience because we can then say to the client, go, oh, okay, well, let's take this opportunity to get your ducks in a row and to go, right, let's tidy up now where these things are. And I think clients that have been around for a very long time, so people that have had a website for 20 years plus, quite often have sort of just had arrangements that have been left how they are. And they sort of haven't really thought about it since that time. But I think it's very easy to sort of get complacent about, oh, well, stuff just works. But then when things go wrong, that's when you go, oh, my God, I didn't know where these things, where the details were. I didn't know. I didn't have control of this stuff.
Yeah, and I think the same for emails is that we, you know, as a marketing agency, we don't get involved in email management. It's a misconception because obviously it's attached to the domain that people think they come hand in hand. Where I tend to get involved with that is I always recommend you have an IT partner on hand to help with that. A lot of the customers we dealt with, like you say, treat it as a positive experience. Getting ducks in a row is a lot of our customers that didn't have these ducks in a row, they're now customers with a local partner of ours that we work with who does IT support. They're now on Microsoft 365. They're all set up, they're all cloud-based, the domains are all in the correct place, they know who's who and they know who to manage and who to contact when things go wrong. I think that back to the original point with things that go wrong, first and foremost, is it's that knowing where everything is that's involved in a website launch. So if you are a customer listening, it is always good to think, well, where is my domain sat? How much do I pay for that? Another thing is renewal. You know, when you bought the domain on a card that expired 3 years ago, often we find websites go offline because they haven't renewed. If they haven't renewed, that's usually because the card's expired.
That happens more often than people would realize. And quite often it's like, oh, my website's offline. I'm like, no, your website's actually online. It's your domain name's expired.
Yeah. And so again, it's getting that account and your affairs in order to approach this launch of a new website is quite useful. But I think looking at the holistic point of view on the launch of a website with a customer is you've got to always think as well, sometimes the customers we work with, they don't know, because they, you know, people that set it up aren't with the business, or it was, like you say, set up 20 years ago and it doesn't exist. So that's the first thing I'd always look at is, okay, well, what do you know and what do you not know, or what do you have? The second part of that deployment is, like I say, with the backup of the website, is the role of the new website is, once you've got the website good to go, is it having a proper hosting arrangement set up? So have you chosen a good hosting plan? Now, we offer many hosting solutions. We would always look at the needs of the site. So if it's e-commerce, non-e-commerce, brochure type, those type of things, is always have a look at, well, how much resources that server going to need, or that site going to need from the server. If it's e-commerce, probably a little bit more. If it's not e-commerce, probably a little bit less. Once you've agreed on the hosting platform, it's then to agree on a support maintenance plan, which obviously is something we'll look at, because websites are software based, they update, they age, they need maintenance. And then rolling into the deployment is DNS control. Everyone expects it to happen, so at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon, they'll go, right, let's go live. Right, well, before end of play, we expect to see that website. Well, actually, doing the DNS change could take up to 24 hours. In fact, sometimes longer. So it's setting those expectations that once that happens, is what's your plan for informing your internal parties? So if you're telling your internal shareholders, your members of the board, or your marketing team, is that we often get a load of people immediately after we've changed the DNS to say, can't see it, can't see it, it's not live. Fast forward into when it is live, it's then having a marketing strategy to attach to that, because it's great having a new website. Why did you spend all that money on a new website? What are you going to do with that website?
Yeah, I mean, we often see clients who have new websites and they go, oh, I'm done now, I'm on a new website. Yeah. But then obviously from our point of view, websites aren't there just as vanity projects, and we're there to try and make money for people. And so we always say, oh, okay, well, what's the objective? Is it a lead gen website? So is it business to business? And actually your plan here is to get more inquiries. Is it an e-commerce website? In which case we're looking at sales, all of which revolve around how many more people can you get to the website? So it's all about visitors, all about what they do on the site, and all about how they convert into whichever conversion metric that client wants. Now, but that in itself can lead to things going wrong. I mean, one of the things that we find quite regularly is set up with analytics tracking is quite tricky with clients, because ones where they've had, like you said before, some of them may have set it up before then left the business, and then no one has access to that now. That often becomes a bit of a sticking point, where we have to try and track down who's got control of that so that we can integrate it on the new website and sort of carry that data across.
Yeah.
I'd probably say actually about half of the projects we do get stuck around that.
I'd say more than that, actually. It's a valid point, is once you deploy it, you want to see a measurable difference in having that new website. So part of that, our ability to help provide that difference, is to track the users, the traffic, you know, how they're finding you, how they're discovering you. Because another important part that a lot of people don't look into is that who is using their website? How many people do they get to their website? Some businesses are quite clued up. We've got customers that use Salesforce. They can track every user, every conversion, where it came from, how it worked. Some businesses just don't know. And it's about having that plan and that strategy in place about, well, we know how many visitors we used to get, and we know what keywords we were found for. Launch the new website. First and foremost, we need to make sure we continue that tracking on the same dashboard. Obviously, if the user that set that up, it's another valid point actually for any business owners out there, is if you do have Google Search Console or a Google Ads account set up for the business, ensure that it's set up under the business name, under business details, that should any staff member or any marketing member of the team leave, it's not pegged to their account. Because I've just got a customer at the moment that has got access to their account, but they're a guest. So they actually can't make any physical changes to users or any management on that account other than view that data. We're actually having to look at setting up a fresh account for them so they've got that control. So if you are in that position right now and are thinking, well, I don't actually know, drop us an email or drop us a call and we'll probably be able to help identify what you need to do. But having that data is crucial to working out the difference in the new website, and then we can start to put strategy together for marketing campaigns. Because a lot of people, again, like James says, most amazing thing is when people say they've spent tens of thousands of pounds on a website, they don't actually have any structure or strategy to how to drive more traffic to it.
So no, that's right. I mean, and whilst it's not a sort of a thing that can go wrong, it's a thing that potentially can go wrong 6 months down the line where they're sort of looking back and reflecting on the fact they've had this new new shiny new website built for them and it's not making any more money.
Yeah.
But it's gone wrong in that they then didn't follow that up with a marketing campaign to support that website.
Yeah.
So like the website's really sort of stage one of the process and it's very much a transactional item. It's, you know, you go through a project, you go through a design and build and you've got a website. After that, the work doesn't stop. The work actually gets harder.
Yeah.
And people sometimes forget to do that, or maybe they're a business that doesn't see value in that.
I mean, our entire business model has changed on that basis of recognizing that customers just don't tend to follow on post launch of a website. Is there's no point in doing this if you're not going to continue to look at that traffic and try and generate revenue. It's difficult if it's a brochure website, if the pull is to download information or click for more information. It's difficult to measure than it is for if it's e-commerce, because you can track sales.
Yeah.
Where, like you say, a lot of people do go wrong is they just think it's just going to overnight improve their presence. It's not. Google changes the algorithm every day. The traffic changes. Devices change. Trends change. You've got to adapt to that. And part of our business strategy is to support that evolution of how users interact with websites, whether that's finding information, finding opening times, finding product details, downloads, data sheets, PDFs, all sorts of things. It's all got to be readily accessible, but you've also got to measure, well, why are you tracking this information and why are the users using your website and not someone else's?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And I think, you know, the thing that we also see go wrong, which is actually almost a before website goes live thing, is customers that forget that they haven't given us any content. So, I mean, I could probably count many, many times where customers have had a website offers, you know, and it's on them to write a bit of content. They just don't do it and go, can we put the website live now? I'm like, but the website doesn't have any text in it, or it's got Latin text in as placeholder for the things you need to write. Oh, well, I thought that was just my computer. I'm like, no, you just haven't given us any content.
I won't name someone, but I have a customer right now that thought their website was done when we had to highlight that the Latin text that fills the gaps needs to be replaced.
Yeah, and I think I think some of this is just like a lack of technical knowledge or lack of maybe understanding from our point, you know, from our and client point of view, that, you know, it's on us sometimes to sort of share to the client, no, this is for you. You need to tell us, you know, what do you want to say about your business here? We can obviously support you with copywriting, but we need to know what you want to say.
Yeah, and I mean, that comes back to my key philosophy is it all starts with communication. Gathering an understanding to what that customer understands is required of them, so we can then convey what it is that we need them to do and what we will do as part of that exercise. Because getting your content is, a lot of people treat a new website as an opportunity to refresh their content and that. But you've also got to bear in mind is you don't want to change that content too much, because Google won't like that. Google's got, you know, that could be weighted in certain terms. If the site's historical, it could have better weight against it. So therefore, you don't want to lose some of the content. There's lots of things. Like, for example, a lot of people don't realize is that your news and blog pages, they just go, oh, we'll just leave it and we'll just start fresh, or, you know, just carry them over. Well, the news items and you tend to find the posts and the blogs on websites are the most weighted areas for Google to find that website relevant for certain terms, because it's relevant content about relevant issues. And it's amazing how many people don't actually recognize that or have a plan for continuing the population of that post-launch.
Yeah, that can be. And I think it's, again, it's sometimes just not their priority.
Yeah,
you know, they kind of go, you guys have done it, so I don't need to really have input into that.
Yeah, and well, they just also feel, I mean, content, it's not a particular favourite topic of mine either, but it is an unnecessary evil that we need to create new content and structure for the search engines. We've got some large firms that we're working with at the moment that they have a 12-month strategy plan for content. Within that, we'll add other items to it. That's part of the process, is your checklist for issues that you're going to face, is you need to plug those gaps with content, and that content needs to be proper SEO'd so that therefore it has a purpose to be on the website.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So I think beyond all the things we've talked about, obviously ads are a big area where we see people come to us, and we normally get people coming to us where they've already got existing ad accounts and something's just not working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's often a case where they're spending too much money, or whoever set it up kind of just did it because they thought they could give it a try, and turns out they're wasting quite a lot of budget. What's your opinion, Mike, on sort of what we're seeing about sort of ads that aren't returning investment for clients?
I think the issue for it is a lot of people, because it's been set up, they just leave it running because they think it's doing something. They don't know what, but they think, well, they're afraid if they turn it off, the taps will stop running. So they just keep paying the Google Ads invoices and they hope that it's generating a certain amount of revenue. What we tend to find in those circumstances is that either the person that has established them and done that is either, again, left the business, or it's just something that they set up as part of parcel of their role, but it's not something that they've daily managed. And we've gone into some accounts where the keywords, the key phrases have not been looked at in years, and they're just not weighted. So it's always having a topical review, and we tend to do a workshop in those scenarios for what keywords, what's your... The best way to look at that is label your five nearest competitors. Look at, give us your five competitors in your industry. We can go and have a look at how they're obtaining their traffic, their information, and their trends. And therefore, we can convey that back and look at how you should be acquiring that traffic as well. There's also another thing to look at. In some industries, the traffic is just different levels to other industries. So if you're in a timber industry, for example, and you want to get new people about manufacturing timber products, there's only going to be a finite amount of manufacturers looking for that type of supplier. Versus if you're in an e-commerce business selling a car care product or a car detailing product, there's going to be a lot more competition. Therefore, you've got to look at your keywords a lot more broader in terms of the traffic that you want to grab. And it's amazing the amount of people that don't actually go into and pick these ad campaigns apart to look at where the money's been spent. We've got accounts. I think one account, I think our best was years ago. I won't mention the client's name, but you'll know them, James. So they specialised in keeping you cool in certain times of the year,
yes.
Where they were spending almost £100,000 on their ads because they just assumed that was generating a lot of the business, when actually we found that about 30% of that was actually accurate.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. And again, I think, we entered that account, we sort of audited it, we changed the account, and then actually they got more leads for less money.
Yeah.
And then their marketing team was like, oh, this is amazing. I mean, I've got all this free marketing budget to spend. this happens quite often. So, whenever we sort of pick up an account that someone else has already set up, we do quite often identify opportunities for saving money, for improving the ad results. It's always good to give a customer good news to say, actually, we're going to spend less money. Rather than going into it going, I will now suddenly have to throw thousands of pounds a month at ads, which is sometimes what you have to do. But like you say, I think some clients get very very focused on them because they think that the leads and the business will dry up when the ads are off. So it does become quite a reliance, actually, for some businesses to have social and Google ads running, because that's where they believe that their business comes from.
Yeah.
What we try to do is at least, if that's the case, that's the case. But what we try and do is at least highlight to clients, yes, you do get business from here, but you also get it from here. And so this is the channel that's making this much money. And if you do turn it off, you're not going to have it.
Well, again, it's like we've had a client recently. Again, I can't mention names on these, but they specialise in financial products for mortgages and housing industry. And they were out of the absolute belief that ads was the way they needed to go to acquire new business in the new area that they'd moved to and relocated to. In actual fact, we worked out that probably most of their business come from referral and recommendation from their existing market space. Because when you search for a certain financial advisor in an area, you tend to search for that area that you live within and you reside within. They were going for competition based in Manchester, which is far, far away from where they were based and unnecessary, but they were spending on ads to compete against people in Manchester. Mm. Whereas actual fact, we could detune all of that spend and refocus that elsewhere on social media, where we can demographically go for people in that area or for LinkedIn, for particular people into particular industries that they want to work to. All of a sudden, you've got all this scope, and it's about gaining that understanding of what they understand they're doing. And I think that's what you've got to ask yourself when you look at launching a website, looking at your marketing strategy, looking at the existing house, looking at everything in order, is what do you understand and what do you think you have control of and what do you know versus what we can help you with? And a lot of people tend not to approach us for that advice because they feel that it's committal to going out of what their current arrangement is. A friend set it up, or someone set it up, and I don't want to upset them and stuff. It's not always the case. We can always get involved in any point at any account. But the main thing that we see go wrong is that people just don't look at the future and go, well, where are we going to go with this new website? Where are we going to go with this new strategy? Have you launched a new brand? Do you want market awareness? Do you want brand awareness? There's all sorts of things we can look at. But not to have a plan is just basically going to fail. So,
completely. Yeah. Great. Well, if anyone's got any more thoughts on this or are worried about their own sort of digital infrastructure, wants a bit of an audit, a bit of help, drop us over an email at hello@somarketing.com.
I will add to that, if you're not sure about your hosting arrangement or where it's hosted or how this arrangement is and what we talked about today, do email or do call us, because it's amazing how many people we find actually don't.
Yeah, and we're happy to have a no obligation conversation just to give some advice as well.
Yeah, definitely.